Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to I Am Resistance and the End Times. This podcast is dedicated to creating a culture of resistance to industrial civilization, resistance to the evisceration of the living world, the land base, and the exploitation of all creatures by the corporatocracy and the oligarchy that enslaves and deforms our being, resistance to this insane culture of occupation that supports violence and oppression at every turn. We seek truth in a culture of lies, violence, and kitsch. This is a call to action to those who will listen. A cry to unite to stop this toxic culture before it is too late. We must resist this culture of enslavement, defend all life, and restore the land base before it is uninhabitable. We must work to decolonize our minds, re-indigenize our lives, and end the exploitation of all life. See the truth of living as awake, responsible moral beings in tune with each other as nature. It is our only hope for the future of the living world. This insane culture must be stopped. Rebellion is the only way, and radical feminism is a guide to all who want to dismantle, not reform, the domination culture. Industrial civilization can be dismantled and never allowed to be again. We must build a culture of resistance to fight insanity, fight this insanity of industrial civilization. We must fight. So I urge you, I beg you, I implore you to support resistance anywhere you see it, anywhere. Expand your awareness. Read some books. Think hard. Challenge your culture. Question the narratives. That's what we're going to do. That's what I've been doing. We have to recognize the reality that we're in. We have to recognize the truth.
Television. Those were the my butt, cause it lasts too long. I'm sick of hearing about the haves and the have not. Have some personal accountability. The biggest problem with the way that we've been doing things is the more we let you have, the less that I'll be keeping for me. Right, you stand so still. Now I'm my own man.
Good morning, my fellow underminers, resistors, fellow livestock. This is Jeff, your old friend and pal. Today is October 10th, 2015. I hope you're all very well. Check out my Facebook page, I Am Resistance. There's also the group, I Am Resistance Decolonize Resist. Check it out. It's a group. Join it. Also email me, inquiringsage@gmail.com and Google+. I also have a blog, jefftheinquiringsageblogspot.com. I'm going to use that more, trust me, all in good time. Call in, 646-915-9912. There's a live chat open. Say stuff. Call in, 646-915-9912. Let's have a conversation. Nobody wants to talk to me. It's all right, I don't take it personal. Because I have so much on my mind that I have to express anyway. You know I love talking to myself, y'all, so... But you should, hey, talk to me. You know, but I'm talking to people anyway. And I bring my conversations here. And I'm going to bring you some conversations. I'm going to bring you some thoughts. So you know, I want to talk about violence. Violence. Lots of violence going on, always. As if there's not always violence happening. Lots of violence. What is violence? You know how the enslaved minds need definitions. Well, violence is the unjustified use of force. That's one simple definition. Unjustified, unnecessary use of force. So as opposed to the necessary, justified use of force, as if that's not violence. But let's talk about violence. Let's talk about what's happening in the world. In case any of you haven't noticed, there's been a lot of violence. Of course, there's always a lot of attacks. A lot of attacks at schools, school shootings. Gun violence, they like to call it. Lots of violence. So usually, so we have our standard narratives like monogamy or modernity itself, that there is a normal way of existence, a normative way. So you have your standard shooting nowadays. Somebody goes to, say, elementary school and shoots 20 children and 5 adults. Oof. You know, that really strikes at us. It should. It's. We love children. I love children. Children are just children. They're babies. And they're being hurt. Ooh, very offensive. Beyond offensive. It's horrific. It's an atrocity. No question about it. That's not the narrative. That's not the issue. But so we have all these types of shootings. People going using guns to kill other people. Okay. So it's awful. It strikes at us as it should. I take a different narrative. I see these attacks not as what, and again, that's the standard narrative. The standard narrative is that these people are crazy, insane. You know, I like to use that word, insanity. They're deeply disturbed people. They're pissed off. So they're lashing out. And they are. Grabbing their guns, going to places, and murdering people. How is that any different than what the police do? How is that any different than the U.S. military, the Russian military, the Syrian military, the South African military and police? How is that any different? How is it any different? So I see it as an insurgent attack. That's always the case I've made. For what you see is what we will say are random acts of violence are actually phenomenon. because nothing happens in a vacuum and everything is interconnected. So what you see is a phenomenon, a saturation of phenomenon, of a sociology of insurgency. People are pushing back, finally, against civilization. Are they doing it well? Yes and no. It all depends on how you want to explain it. Explanation is everything, and that's where we have to explain it better, more intelligently. Explanation guides intervention, a man once said. So how you explain it makes all the difference. And so we always go off mental illness. They're mentally ill. They're just completely mentally ill. They have some kind of disorder, and so then we can write them off. We could just say it was just another bad apple, you know, in the bucket of really good apples. These people just, if their mommy would have been nice to them, or if they would have just gotten treatment, they would have been okay. No. Wrong. I have noticed a new narrative that's coming up, that's being promoted by the media. And you know, if Sanjay Gupta, the CNN schmoctor, is talking about this or promoting this, you know it's hit the mainstream pretty well. And it's not new, because I've heard it before, but it's that violence itself is a disease. So we should treat violence, and again, the core symptom of violence, which is aggression, as a disease, a mental illness. This is bullshit. I'm going to call that. You know, this is straight up bullshit to sort of make people even more docile, to say that is never an option. Resistance is a disease now. To resist tyranny will become a disease. And that the only legitimate use of force won't be considered violence, but the righteous infliction of, you know, of damage needed to, you know, protect the public. That's how they always spin it. That's how the disease is the infection, and we have to just get rid of the infection, you know, with the righteous infliction of harm, you know, for your own good. To protect us, the sheep, from the wolves, we have to get the other wolves. We have to remove them like a malignant cancer. And violence itself is now seen as a cancer. And this is, again, like I said, absolute bullshit. One, it's a metaphor. It's a good one, because it really like resonates with people. Because what we're wanting to say is that violence is bad. Violence hurts people. And what we want to do that is the unjustified, the illegitimate use of violence. So to go into some place and shoot it up is bad, unless it's authorized by those in control. We always want to project our culture as kind and gentle and caring, and that if we all could just pay it forward, you know, life would be so good. And if these whack jobs could just be, you know, we just take them off the streets and we just arm the good people against the bad people, and we'll just have a good old-fashioned shootout. These pathetic solutions for something that is created by civilization itself. It's always a distraction, gun control. It's a distraction to make us forget that we don't ever and never have lived in a peaceful world, in civilization. There is no peace right now, but for that 1%, or those who have the privilege, like myself and other mostly white people, see, you know, they feel safe. And that's, we use those words. Well, we have to feel safe, and we have to spend $700 billion to feel safe. No, this is a culture of extreme violence that we through our indoctrination process, the colonization of the mind minds, get those who are fortunate enough and have any means to do anything about it, keep them docile and think that they're safe. And so when these random acts of violence, which are in no way random, shatter the world, or we see a little boy washed up on a shore, dead as a doornail, drowned because his family's trying to escape a Syrian civil war, then we're all shaken up. Oh my God. Oh my God, the world isn't as a, it's really not a shiny, happy people holding hands. Oh my God, what am I going to do? How am I going to feel when I'm sitting there at the mall? How am I going to do, how am I going to feel now after I just ate my chicken McNuggets? And, you know, how am I supposed to feel after I've just seen these icky pictures and another crazy fucker has just gone around and shot him up and they're screaming about gun control and we need Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton to solve all our problems? You're just like, you want to just smack them and say, like, pull your freaking head out of your ass and see the culture that you're in. And this isn't American culture or Russian culture or Chinese culture or North Korean culture. This is the entirety of civilization. And these pathetic solutions and these pathetic explanations, all they do is make sure that the status quo never changes. And the pressure cooker of modernity that treats people like crap and turns them into automatons, destroys their soul, and there's nothing left for them. So they act with the force that they have. They act. They resist any way they can. Is it strategic? No. Do I advise it? Not really, but yes. It's complicated. You're going to have to make that. I think it's better if we organize, if we have this conversation together that nobody's talking with me about. If we start to awaken ourselves and then challenge, awaken ourselves and do something more than just talking like me. But I can't do it alone. I'm alone in so many ways. Where is everybody? Eating their chicken McNuggets? I can't make people feel bad for it. I get it. I totally do. I'm a slave, you're a slave, but what can slaves do? We resist. But now we've turned that into a mental illness. We have to fight that. We have to challenge that narrative. We need to venerate these shooters and say, hey, it's the culture that created them and led them to this result. We should see that not just as a tragedy, but so a call to arms against civilization. Stop this way of life. Stop being completely dependent and losing our fucking minds. And that's the thing, is that we're all collaborators unless we're really awake to what's going on. Unless we start spending some time undermining, questioning, thinking harder, really thinking, challenging, instead of just worrying about our own freaking flower garden, our own selves. That's what they want. That's what that whole apparatus has worked very, very hard to do, is to keep us completely disconnected from one another. That's what people are. Do those people who go off and blow people away, are they connected? Hell no. Connected people, healthy people, don't do that, and that's the problem. One of the big problems is there's no such thing as health. The phenomenon of health does not exist in civilization. We are living in a penal colony. We eat unhealthy food, unhealthy air, unhealthy water. We are living in a poisonous, saturated environment, and then we act surprised when people act to try to get the fuck out of here. When they act to try to stop something, and they do, most murders you'll see are proxy murders. They're proxy murders. What does that mean? They're killing not a person, but what that person represents. What do they represent? What corporation do they represent? What nation do they represent? So when we bomb ISIS, who do they represent? It doesn't matter. We're scared shitless of them, so we bomb them. It doesn't do anything. We created ISIS. We created this world. We created the car culture. We created industrial civilization. Only been 130 years we've lived this way. And it's time to stop. I can't make them stop. Can you? We can. And it's not that nobody cares, it's just that you don't want to care because you're collaborating. You're the Nazi, I'm the Nazi, but I'm the Nazi that knows that I don't want to be a part of this party. But I don't have a choice, because they'll kill me with my love, because I got kids. I got responsibilities. I'm enslaved, and so are you. But instead of feeling helpless, we have to do something. That's great. We have our taxonomy of action. This is mine, to educate, to mouth off, to be here. They haven't come and got me yet, but they will. And when they come and get me, will you stand up for me? Will you? I want to stand up for you. We need to see that violence, we cannot allow them to pathologize our actions. We can't allow them to saturate the phenomenon, to turn only action that they want into healthy action, to be docile slaves. We can't allow them to turn righteous action, which is resisting evil, resisting this toxic shithole of a culture that grinds people up and uses them and abuses them and exploits the living world. 200 species a day die because of us, and we're told not to give a shit. But that's because we choose not to give a shit. We need to see we have no choice but resistance. There is no choice whether you want to do some crappy job or a better crappy job, because work is irrelevant. This work that supports the domination cultures, the enslavement, the colonization. We must decolonize our minds. We must challenge and stand up. And if that means they're dragging us out of our house, well, let's get ready to have it out. We need to see really what's going on. It's that constant imposition of hegemony and power, control, control, control. Those who resist don't want to be controlled, not because they want the option to do other stupid shit, because those are still the same game that the dominators are letting us play. They're choosing the discourse. They're choosing how we can act. They're mitigating our resistance. They're mitigating our ability to rewild ourselves and re-indigenize and see something clear. They're telling us through language itself, because the discourse is formed through domination. We have to see that. And that one is very hard, because it sounds too complicated, because they're like, huh? I'll save that. I'll save that as I spread that through these conversations in the years to come. But you cannot allow them to turn resistance into a mental illness. That thinking critically will become a mental illness. To say no to power and control is mental illness. No. No. We need to see this violence going on as something that is good. People are standing up. They're not doing it strategically, and I would advise them to do so. I would advise them to hold on to that rage, until the time is right, to coordinate with other people instead of just rushing off and murdering people. This insurgency is growing every day. And we have to see the interconnectedness of what's happening. These are not random acts of violence. Are they organized? No, but they're organized in the sense that the culture of domination is creating this. And the more they squeeze us, the more they're going to see this. And they know it. So they want to take away our ability to defend ourselves against their tyranny. I saw a woman from years back who was an unfortunate victim of a mass shooting. Her father and mother were murdered. I would say I wasn't sure exactly. I just watched it once, and I think I'd seen it before. She's very articulate, and she's very clear about, she actually had had a gun but had taken it out of her purse. Wish she had had it. But the point that she said is the Second Amendment, if you want to buy into the Constitution, which I don't, but I'll take it for right now, is that we're supposed to have the Second Amendment so we can overthrow our government, so we can defend ourselves against tyranny. And the problem we have right now is that people do not see, because of our indoctrination and social media and this consumer culture, that we are slaves. And what do slaves do? They fight any way they can. And by that, you know, this is the same action that you go back to the 1850s. There was a mental illness for slaves that ran. Yeah, look it up. I can't remember the name right off the top of my head. It has a weird saying to it. It's like something phobia or whatever. So, you know, let me see if I can look it up really quick. Slave mental illness. Sorry, I couldn't help it. Yeah, so, yeah, here it is. It's called drapetomania. Drapetomania was a supposed mental illness described by American physician Samuel A. Cartwright, a white man, in 1851 that caused black slaves to flee captivity. Today, drapetomania is considered an example of pseudoscience and scientific racism. Exactly. It's exactly what the mental health field is. That's exactly what the medical field is a type of slavism to keep us enslaved. It needs to be abolished, as does this system. These pseudosciences, they're all pseudoscience. They're all fake because they're always trying to keep us docile and accepting the status quo of civilization. This way is awful, toxic, and needs to be dismantled. Am I talking to myself here? Yeah, I am. Sorry. I'm angry. So should you be. I'm angry that people are being murdered. How many people are killed by cops compared to how many people are getting shot by these insurgents? The ratio is pathetic. Cops are killing way more people always. How many people we kill with our military each year? Way more people than get shot. They're trying to take away guns so they can keep us further enslaved. Am I for gun control? No. Am I against people shooting people? Yeah, I really don't like that. Am I against the civilization that creates the situation where people feel that they have to go to that extreme? This entire culture is extreme. It's so extreme that it doesn't understand its own foundations, that it's unsustainable. It's based on rape and murder and conquest, domination, colonization, indoctrination, and absolute total violence. Daniel Quinn nailed it, and I say it again, this is a culture of maximum harm. How do you respond to the culture of maximum harm? You push back any way you can. Any way you can. These people lose their shit. They're not mentally ill. They've just lost their perspective so drastically. Can you blame them? I can blame the one for Sandy Hook. You don't shoot children. I'm sorry. But it's easy to say that. I don't know what's in their mind. I don't know how far these people have been pushed, how terribly damaged and traumatized they are. The mental illness is civilization, if there ever was one. But there's no such thing as mental illness. There isn't. We're people who are just so badly damaged, and we want to connect, and we don't know how, and that frustration causes immense harm. Immense harm to us. Our neurology is so fucked up we wouldn't know this way from Sunday because we have no balance in our existence. We're slaves in an industrial wasteland of our soul. And think and fight and resist. First, we need to understand and get angry about what's happening. We need to see that violence isn't the disease. Civilization is a cesspool of horrible violence against us. Violence is an action. It is a use of force. We have to use it to save the living world. What else can we do? Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, my fellow underminers, undermine, resist. Till next time, I'm going to see what I can see about next week. Nobody called in. You all suck, and I hate you. You have a great weekend.
One more, and every gambler knows that to lose what you're really there for. Somehow I was fearlessness. Now I speak into an answer phone, like every falling leaf on the breeze. Winter wouldn't leave it alone. If you go, if you go your way and I go mine, are we so, are we so helpless against the tide? Baby, every dog on the street knows that we're in love with defeat. Are we ready to be swept off our feet and stop chasing every breaking wave? Every sailor knows that the sea is a friend made enemy.